Great to be together again. Certainly, as I'm going to introduce today, a joyful day. I don't know if you woke up this morning and saw the sunshine. For most Idahoans I know, they see the sun come up and think it's a good day. We have melting snow off the roads, and so we can get around easier and things of that nature. And I say that because my lesson today is about rejoicing, about being joyful in the Lord, or finding joy. And if we look, the title is finding, as it is something to be searched for and something to be found. And we're going to see how that happens from Scripture as we look at the Philippian letter. And that's where I want to go for our study today. Today is Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's kind of a, really it ties together with the last three lessons I have. And we'll tie those together at the end, actually, in this case. But I want to talk about joy and rejoicing. Joy is one of the Christian virtues, one of the fruit of the Spirit. If you'll notice the passage I have up there, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, one of the fruit of the Spirit. There, as Paul writes this letter, he says there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is one of the attributes of a Christian that shows we're walking by Spirit, that we're walking with God, that we're godly people. And it's a demonstration of that. And it's a demonstration I'm going to present to you as of a Christian who is mature and has control of their life. I'm going to make a statement that way. A Christian that has control of their lives, because finding joy is a choice that we have. It's something we choose to do. And so we're going to study, I think we're going to see as we study together, that we're going to see how Paul demonstrates this and shows this in his letter, in particular to the Philippians. Be joyful in the Lord is actually how I've titled the lesson, being joyful in the Lord. As recently I studied through the letter of the that Paul wrote to Philippians, I try to, in my own personal studies, as I look and look at these passages, these books, and study them, try to look for themes, try to look for common ideas. Paul especially was one to take a topic and explain it and to show what it means, and we'll delve into that topic, and he might switch his topic, and sometimes obvious. And I can't say I've done that perfectly with Philippians yet, but in Philippians 1, or 3 verse 1, he introduces the topic of joy. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And he begins to talk. Now, in chapter 3, he don't actually seem, at least in my mind, to follow this idea of playing out what joy would look like. I didn't pick up on that from my own personal study, but he picks up again in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So he introduces the topic again about joy. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy. The Philippians were a joy to Paul in some ways, in many ways. And so in this letter now, as we continue, and we're going to read on down in verse 4, where we're going to pick up with this idea of joy, is rejoice in the Lord, of course, and that's our word joy, or cheerful. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Here in this passage to Philippians in chapter 4, there's probably a couple of passages that's going to stand out and say, oh, that's what I recognize, what we always hear about and see. And this is probably one of them. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And the idea and speech behind that, by him saying rejoice twice, is he's talking about doubling your joy. And I think I introduced in class last week, for the engineers, it maybe they looked at joy squared. The idea to have abundant joy, have great joy in the Lord. And this is an attribute of a Christian that we should be looking for and striving for. And so just to help identify what this term would mean, just for a couple of references, to be full of cheer. Is the idea behind it. And it's repeated, the commentators note, it's repeated for emphasis, to emphasize the idea that we should have joy. And we're going to notice, as we study through this and look at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, it is independent of our circumstances in life. Joy in a Christian That joy that Paul had, and the joy that Paul taught the Philippians to have, is independent of our circumstances in life. And I don't know if you noticed, I'm going to back up for this. That is a picture of a prison. You see the bars on the wall? Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians from prison. And yet Paul says, have joy. And Paul says, I have joy. And we're going to see, and this is a major point to me as we study this passage of Philippians. Paul is sitting basically in a prison cell, or at least confined in Rome, not able to move about. We're talking in Acts about his missionary journeys, how he goes around. He wants to go to Spain. We talked about this morning a little bit. He is confined in Rome. And so for humans, for us normal people, we could find lots of reasons to be to not be joyful. We talked about complaining and murmuring. Paul had every reason to complain. He's confined. Paul was joyful. Paul is instructing the Philippians also to be joyful. Not just joyful, but abundantly joyful. To be full of cheer is the idea behind it. And notice our Peter wrote also, and we're going to use this, in 1 Peter 4, verse 13, a similar passage for us, something to consider and contemplate here as we continue through our study. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 13 and 14. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are rejoice in that you are partakers of Christ's suffering. That doesn't make sense, so maybe to us, does it? Rejoice, and you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when this glory should be revealed, you shall be glad with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the spirit of joy, I'm sorry, the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Rejoice that you are partakers with the suffering. Take joy and happy are you when you're reproached. Well, that just doesn't match up with our thought process, does it? When we have difficulty in life, if we're stuck in a prison, sometimes it's hard to find joy in life. But Paul says, find it. Finding joy is our goal. That's what we're looking for. And so as we look, let's take a look at some of what he continues to say here. I believe as we study through here, chapter 4, we're going to see Paul makes a case for how we can be joyful. He's going to talk about some things that can inhibit our joy, can steal our joy, take our joy away from us. And he's also going to talk about things that should bring us joy. And so we'll see those things, and he's going to help us with that, I believe, here. And the first thing he says in the next verse, verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The idea behind that moderation is actually kind of a vague term. It's one of those terms kind of like a virtue. What does virtue mean? Well, virtue is kind of vague. But the next verse here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, says, let your moderation. What does that mean? Well, some of these here are associated with gentleness, Strong, Stairs, and Robertson's word pictures. And then some others, Bullinger and Vincent and Jameson Fawcett Brown, kind of give an idea of forbearance. And for our sake, we're going to stick with gentleness here. But let our gentleness be known to man. It is vague, but let's stay with gentleness. And moderation, maybe not exactly what we might think of, but maybe it's a good word as well. But let this be known to all men. So as we think about this, he talks about the meekness and gentleness of Christ. It's a virtue that Christ had. As he's talked to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. It's something Christ had. And it's also, as James references, being the wisdom from above, the reasoning from above, the knowledge from above is gentle. Well, let me read it. The wisdom is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, that idea of gentleness, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And so the idea there, again, gentleness being brought up. And certainly, if we take the idea of moderation, that would apply into the next coming verses, which talk about our worldly possessions. How do we view our worldly possession? How do we view our worldly situation, status in life? And that might be appropriate as well. But regardless, these things are to be known to all men. They're to see these things in us. And so being gentle, I think we can see how that brings joy and it allows joy to happen. It allows joy to, in other people. We don't steal that joy from other people when we're gentle. And it's certainly a virtue of Christ that we would want to mimic, and also is associated with the mind of God and the mind of a Spirit-led life that is peaceable. The wisdom from above is peaceable and gentle, as it mentions there. So regardless of how we look at that, maybe there's some, though it's vague, it's something that can help us there. It is, is important to be within our character and nature. And then verse 6, and this is where it really hits home. We talk about joy. This really hits home for us. Verse 6, the very first part of it, be, King James says, careful for nothing. Well, the term careful is actually anxious. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious or don't be stressed. Even I'm sure the kids, and when you go to school, you have a test, you might be a little bit stressed that you're going to do bad on a test even. That happens. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. We all have had important deadlines. When we have to meet certain goals and there are certain objectives we've been given, whether reasonable or not, in our, especially in work. I know oftentimes I had unreasonable deadlines given. It's like, you know, it stresses us out. Stresses us. We're anxious. Have joy upon joy. To do that, we have to learn how to deal with stress. We have to learn how to deal with anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, to use the word, or stop being anxious. The same idea, we're not going to read this, but in Matthew chapter 6, it talks there about how God cares for the fields and the flowers and the birds. And don't be anxious because the, and I will read that last verse. I like the last one or last couple there in Matthew 6. The same idea, the identical same idea, and the idea is, don't be anxious over things of this world. You can't change them. God, he can't change them. And he says there in Matthew 6, do not be anxious, in 6 verse 34, do not be anxious for tomorrow. Or it says, King James says, take no thought in Matthew 6, 34, but do not be anxious for tomorrow shall take care for itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And the idea is, rely on God. And we're going to see that. Paul makes the same point here. Do not be anxious for tomorrow. And the idea of anxiety and stress. Why? Well, it's because God says so. But does anxiety not steal joy? Does anxiety and stress not take away joy out of our life? It's a joy killer. Just like the grumbling and complainers that we talked about last week, they can steal these things from us. And so this is a choice that we're going to see. It's a choice that we make. We're not to have this. But what's the answer to anxiety? The reality is there are expectations in this life. There's expectations in this world. We have customers. They expect things. We have to deliver. And sometimes the time stress, the time limit is not favorable to us. Maybe the amount of work is not favorable. Or the type of work is not favorable. How do we deal with those things? And if you'll take note of our bulletin, if you want to grab that, one of the writers of the article I chose to put in there talks about how in our business life, that how we deal with those stresses. Because what do? I know personally, I've had a bad habit of taking on more than I can handle. And say no. Just keep, you know, work. Just keep saying, we got this problem. Oh, yeah. And you wake up one morning and say, how am I going to get it all done? Well, if you take a look at that article, we should learn to deal with those. We need to learn to deal with those. We need to have joy, great joy, joy upon joy. And Paul had it, and we see here, anxiety will steal that. Anxiety will take that from us. Well, one of the answers, one of the biggest answers is prayer, right? Give these anxieties to God. God can take care of it for us. And then now in verse 6, it continues on, but in everything, it says, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer is the answer. Prayer is part of the answer, a big part of the answer. Give it to God. Let God carry that burden for us. Be prayerful. Paul says we should do it, and Paul wants it. It is the answer to anxiety. Let God know what we're troubled with. Let God know what we're thankful with. Let him carry that burden for us. That's what Paul's telling them there. This is one of the answers to anxiety. And then 1 Peter 5, this is the other passage in 1 Peter that I have in mind for our lesson today. This really brings it home to me. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, and I will read that one. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Actually, I did the whole verse there. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for us. Cast all your care, he says, Peter does in that passage. Ain't that a great thought? Ain't that a comforting thought? He cares for us. God cares for us. He wants us to pass this off on to him. And certainly, I think we recognize that everything, that does not mean all our burdens in life will be taken out. We have to climb our mountains in life. We have to fight our battles, as it were, in life. We have to grow, and growth is sometimes painful and difficult. But anxiety is not to be a part of that. We, as we mature and grow, can have joy. How do we have joy? We let God have that burden. And Matthew 6 says some of the same things about letting God care for those things. God can, God is aware, God sees, and he can take care of the things that unnecessarily annoy us and unnecessarily disturb us and steal our joy. So in having joy upon joy, we can have the peace of God. And we get that through prayer. It continues on in verse 7 of Philippians 4. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. How great would that be to have the peace of God, to receive the peace of God, to be at peace, to have peace of God in our life. He offers it to us. It's the peace that only God can give. Only God can give those things. And it's only available to those who seek to please him. The peace of God does not exist in the world. And I know you probably do as well. If you go to a funeral of someone who is not a Christian, and you know how difficult. There's not peace there. There's not peace. We know too much about the gospel. We know too much about the requirements of the gospel. We can have peace. We can have the peace of God. It's the peace that God gives by giving him our burdens. It is beyond our understanding. We can be beyond our understanding of this peace that God can give us. as it is taught there, beyond our own knowledge and understanding. God promises that to us. He has told us you can have this. You don't need anxiety. You need to be joyful. How do you be joyful? God says, give me your burdens. Tell me about it. Of course, we know that Paul had the thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times for his thorn in the flesh. Try to get that removed. That was the burden God chose not to live for him. He said, my grace is sufficient. So there are those times in life. But it did not take away Paul's joy. It did not take away his joy. He was not anxious over that. Though he may have been anxious at some point because he wanted it removed. Obviously, it bothered him. But it was something that God says, you can still bear this burden, and it is your burden to bear. But it did not relieve him of his anxiousness, or I'm sorry, it did not relieve him of his responsibility to bear that burden. So in that case, Paul needed to bear his burden, and he did, as far as we understand, as we study about Paul. Well, when it says be anxious for nothing, that was an overstatement. That's a hyperbole. Because as we kind of indicated, Paul did have things to be anxious for a little bit, but he still needed joy. But he in this very letter here, Paul does indicate things to be anxious for in verse 8 and 9. If you'll follow along again as we read that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay, this idea of anxiety is to think on. Well, here he's tying this in. Think on these things. Don't be anxious for things of the world or burdens that are unnecessary to be borne. Give those to God and give them to him in prayer. Be burdened with these things. Let your mind be concerned with these things. Why? These are virtues. These are virtuous. Be anxious for these things. And so things that are true and honest, just, and we could go through and talk about what each one of these mean individually. We won't do that for the sake of time. It's certainly a good study there, but we can just leave it at this. The things that are virtuous are good things for us to be worried about, concerned about. We are concerned and thoughtful of being godly, of being spiritual fruit bearers, as it were, in Galatians chapter 5. that we produce the fruit of the Spirit. And so here's a list of things that we could be and should be anxious for, be thoughtful of. Not things of the world, not things that are temporary, but things that are eternal in nature, and that they help us in that regard. And it's kind of interesting how he sums this up. He's kind of saying there, if there be any virtue, if any praise, he's saying, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever else is virtuous, whatever else is great and good and wonderful, godly, anything else, add to here, basically. Anything, any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, besides what I just mentioned, is kind of what me and the commentators kind of conclude that about the way that phrase is made. Because these are not distractions, right? They lead us to God. They lead us to godliness. They lead us to good things. What does that say about distractions of the world? They don't lead us to God. They lead us away from them. They distract us from godly things. They distract us from godly life, from virtuous living, from the fruit of the Spirit. They distract us from this. And Paul then, as we continue on, in verse 10 through 12, Paul greatly rejoiced in the Lord himself. Paul himself in his example, starting in verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Paul took great joy in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now at the last your charism has flourished. So in this case, he's talking about how they had sent something to help him, whether it's food, money, or whatever it may have been. They sent something to help him, a care package, as it were. That now at the last your care for me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful. There's our word, careful. They was concerned with, but they lacked opportunity. So here's something that the Philippians, it was good that they were concerned about Paul, that they were thoughtful about him, but they lacked opportunity. In verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. So here's Paul's example. For I learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Wow, there's Paul's sum of it. I have learned in whatsoever state therewith to be content. I'm not anxious, I'm not concerned, I'm not stressed, I'm content, no matter what state I'm in. Verse 12, he explains the states that he's been in. I know how to be humbled, and I know how to abound. And everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul, a great example. And whatever state he was in, he learned to be content. So first of all, he was content. He was not anxious. He was not worried. He was not stressed over what he didn't have or what he could have. He was content. What a great lesson for us just by itself, to be content in life. Paul, sitting in prison or confined, whatever state he was confined in, I am content. He was able to boldly say, I am content. Why? Not only was he content, he was joyful, abundantly joyful, greatly joyful, as he greatly rejoiced. And also notice, this is where we start out, finding joy. Something he learned, something he achieved, something he strove for, something he worked for, something he had to learn. It was something that does not come natural to us, nor did it come natural to Paul. As we live in our life, we look, even in Matthew chapter 6, we have many masters. We have what we're seeking to make ourselves comfortable, and whatever level we seek to gain things, that, whether it's a nice house or a nice car, things of this world, a nice retirement. We're all working hard. Let's get this. Paul had none of that. He had a hope for none of that, and yet he was content. He wasn't just content. He was joyful. Paul, our great example. And we talked in our class about Acts 18, how he kind of seems to hit a low point there in Acts 18. And got his pep talk from Jesus. Jesus come and give Paul a pep talk. And sometimes we don't associate that with Paul. And Jesus says there in verse 9, be not afraid. Jesus speaking to Paul in Acts chapter 18, verse 9. Jesus speaks to him, be not afraid, but speak and hold not your peace. Paul had hit a low point, and he says and continues on, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. There, while he's preaching and teaching in Corinth, we see he has learned in his life contentment. He's teaching the Philippians, be joyful and rejoice, be content. Notice there is also Notice it was independent of external circumstances. In other words, Paul was in prison. Like he was bound in whatever main. We understand he had some various levels of confinement. At times it seemed like he might have been free to move about some places. He couldn't by any. But we understand. I don't know that he was able to leave Rome, but he was confined, bound. He had this independent of his external strength, so he could learn these things. And yes, we could sit and we can mope about our state. We can mope about how difficult things are in life. We can mope about how hard life is and how difficult it is. About his tax time. I took a look at my taxes. I'm not happy. I'm not rejoicing today. Any of us happy about taxes? I don't know that we can say that, right? No matter what we do, we can still find joy in our life. It's not because we don't have things we can look at and say, this is horrible, this is horrendous, or we don't like this, or this is such a burden. It's about learning to have joy, learning contentment, regardless of those things in life. We can do that. And Paul did. It's a sign of spiritual growth and a sign of spiritual strength. And we see, as he noted there, we go through other of his resumes, all the things he went through, the beatings and the shipwrecks and near-death experiences and all the things that happened to him, his own countrymen against him. We could just pile on all the things Paul had to endure. Through all this, he had learned to be content and rejoice, and greatly rejoice, as he states there. Verse 13, we find Paul's strength. I can do, this is a passage that we probably have all heard and probably have memorized. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a great comforting passage. He realizes that Jesus was his strength. He doesn't resent Jesus selecting him as apostle. Because you remember, Paul was not originally an apostle, was he? Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and later he was converted, and Jesus selected him for a special ministry. Paul didn't resent Jesus for doing that. He said, Jesus, look what you put me into. Look at all the trouble in my life. All my countrymen mad at me. I've lost all this. Well, that wasn't Paul, was it? He didn't resent what he lost. It was a joy. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Great comfort. The Christian can have this kind of comfort as well, and to know that we can overcome all things. Paul is that example of one who had overcome. Something we cannot even really relate to in our lives here. We don't have the kind of persecution and burdens that Paul bore. Yet he gave us the example of being content and joyful, extremely joyful, it says, with contentment that Paul was. And he got that through God and through Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. It's a choice. It's something we choose to do, something we choose to have. If we can, let's go through our outline. If we have joy upon joy in Jesus, be doubly joyous or joy squared. Be gentle or moderate. Certainly moderate fits with the idea of wealth. And certainly that part is taken, looked at here, but the lesson certainly goes beyond wealth that we might have. It's about there's any burdens we might have in life. Even our own health could be a burden to us, whatever the case may be. So however we want to view that word and picture that word, without anxiety and without stress, but being prayerful, giving Jesus and giving God our burden, because he cares for us. God will bring us peace, a peace that that surpasses any understanding. God can give this to us, but we got to be his children. That is, that's just like an inheritance. Inheritance is not given to anyone who is not a child, who is not a family member. And you can be adopted or written into a will as it will. God does that for us. Therefore, we can have access to this blessing because none of us were born as children of God. We chose to be children of God, and God accepted us based on our obedience, based on our faith. God chose us. And therefore, here we are with our God caring about us, telling us to have joy upon joy. Rejoice. Rejoice. Be doubly joyous. But be anxious. Be thoughtful of godly virtues. It is good for us to be worried about, I use the word worry, that may not be the right word, be thoughtful, to have our minds centered upon and concerned over godly things and godly virtues, the fruit of the Spirit, as it were. We talked about that as we read as an introduction. Those are things we should try to achieve, we try to take on in our life, to have in our mind and our heart, that we be anxious or be thoughtful of godly virtue. And we have Paul's example. Paul didn't teach these things as a hypocrite, saying, but I can't do this, but you got to do it. No, Paul showed us the example. And we understand and we realize Paul's life. We didn't touch on the scriptures that talk about the things that happened to him. he certainly gave us a summary of it there. He had great trials in life, but he found joy. He found contentment. Why? Because he looked for it, first of all. Secondly, because he gave his burdens to God, that God carried them burden. And Jesus, as we know, it was his strength. He says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, verse 13, we quote that right. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so as we tie our lessons together here, we see the mind of the Christian as we try to encourage and inspire one another. We started with Hebrews 10, verse 23, that we exhort one another, inspire one another for love and good works, that we shine as lights. As we talked about last week, I changed the title of my lesson last week. I took it to the positive side, that we shine as lights, which means we're absent of complaining and disputing. We can't shine as lights if we're complaining and disputing. We can't exhort and inspire if we're complaining and disputing. And so we're instructed here in this same letter Paul wrote to them, and we studied that last week and see how these tie together. And today we talk about being joyful. Actually, joyful, gentle, and prayerful. It results in peace from God that surpasses all understanding. It is contentment, absent of anxiety and stress. It's something for us, if we can't and we have trouble and difficulty releasing ourselves from the anxiety and stress. I know in my own personal work, secular work, and jobs that I've had, they can be great. There's always unrealistic deadlines. And you know what? Those prime contractors, they don't care about your problems. They could care less. They look at it and says, we want the job done, and here's the date. And the meetings will continue till you get done. That's the way they look at it. But God cares for us, and we can give him that, and we can certainly, as wise, and take a look at our bulletin and read the article there, one of them in particular about our own business practices and how we deal with those things. That's real. That's real for every one of us. We wake up every morning with a customer wanting something, and eventually one day we're going to wake up and we're going to have three customers wanting the same thing at the same time. How do you manage that? Sometimes it's hard. I don't have to worry about that no more. I put that aside, and I'm content with that, by far and away content and joyful in that. Give our burdens to God. And I'm going to leave that with you here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves. And we looked at the latter part of this, but humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God cares for us. The word care keeps showing up, doesn't it? You'll be anxious, be careful about nothing. He cares for us. He cares for his children. He is aware of us. And he will and can bless us. And we can certainly find, as Paul, as the first title noted, we can find joy. It is reachable. It is attainable. It is something that we can reach for and a goal for us to achieve. And hopefully this lesson today might help us in that regard. It would seem to me that probably the hardest thing about joy is the anxiety piece of it. Being stressed or distressed about delivering what we've committed to in our workplaces at work. Or in our health. We can't help but be stressed. Things happen. But God says give it to him. God cares for us. And as children, he will carry that burden for us. So finding joy, that we can do that by giving him our anxiety, being anxious for virtues, being thoughtful of virtues, not cares of this world. The virtues will carry with us as we put on Christ. Those things are eternal in nature. Versus everything we get, all the things we're normally anxious about, whether it be our health or whether it be our wealth and possessions. Our wealth and possessions and health, that's all going to be gone one day. We're all going to die. One day we're going to leave this earth and all our possessions be gone. And in the end of this world, all our possessions be burned with fire, be completely annihilated. But while we're here, we're concerned with it. So let's put our care upon God. And as I mentioned, it's a blessing only to those who are His children. That is a blessing He gives those who are His children. Are you a child of God? Have you confessed your faith in Jesus and had your sins washed away? You can make that confession this morning and be baptized, and that burden will be carried for you. Christ has offered to carry it. He's just waiting for you to give it to Him. And if you've begun that walk as a Christian, we have the example of Simon the sorcerer, who stumbled along the way, and he picked up another burden he didn't need. He sinned. The apostles told him, pray to God that the thought of your heart would be forgiven you, that your sin would be forgiven. Pray to God, and he will take that burden back away from you again. And that's all we need to do. So if you have a request of either kind this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing a song of encouragement?